are you?
I'm no one. About what happened.
It's true. All of it. The dark side. A Jedi.
It's calling to you. Just let it in.
Oh my God. Welcome everyone to this special episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. I am your host, Carl LeClaire, and joining me for this quick little episode is my partner in crime, the Kylo Ren to my Rey. Figure that out. It's Joe Hogan.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Dude, like.
I can't, man. I can't.
I really. The amount of emotion that trailer just elicited from me, you know, it's really the only way to compare it is to, you know, think about what it was like watching that teaser back in Anaheim in April with, you know, 30,000 fans. Imagine watching that one with 30,000 fans. I would have been in tears.
Insane.
Oh my God, dude. Like, that was just perfect. It was perfect. Oh. And it was so perfect, too, because we still don't really have a sense of the story. But I don't care. I mean, I don't think we needed a very brief little sense of the story is all we're getting here. And I think it's more than enough. I mean, this is what every good trailer should do. You know, so many movie trailers these days just tell you the whole movie. But they give you so much, yet so little. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's... JJ is pretty good about that. I mean, I don't know how much creative control he actually has over the trailers, but I feel like all of his films and TV shows, he's pretty good about keeping most of his shot choices, or at least the things that get shown in like the first act, maybe a little bit of the second act. I don't think any of this stuff is actually the third act.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest with you.
I feel like the battle of the snow, the duel in the snow, is probably the third.
Maybe. I don't know.
But
I'm not sure.
Let's go through this a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
you know what stood out most to you, just in general? Was there anything in particular that really stood out to you?
There was a shot that I did not, you know, I have the trailer open on loop right now. there was a shot of Kylo Ren in the rain, and I think it's other Knights of Ren with him.
That's what I, it's exactly what it looks like.
Okay.
That looked so cool.
So fast. Yeah, these dudes look like other Knights of Ren to me.
Yeah.
Because they all have, like, really similar helmets and blasters or something. I don't know. I don't know who these guys are, but holy shit, they look cool. Oh, yeah. God, I'm sorry.
That's
I don't
okay.
know if I can swear or not, but oh, man. My potty mouth is in full swing right now.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Joe, I mean, yeah, that's exactly what I thought, too. I was like, holy crap, what are these other Knights of Ren? And they're all just like, hey, we want to hang out with Kylo.
You know, I'm sorry.
killed.
I'm surprised we got as much of Han as we did. Like, we got a lot of shots with him.
Yeah.
Not only, you know, even other than the narration of him.
Right, right. You know, on it, what stood out the most to me, and this is typical of a Star Wars film, is the freaking music.
Yeah.
Holy hell. I mean, this is obviously all new Force Awakens music. John Williams is probably done scoring the film, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, and it, some of it's new for sure. Some of it is just, you know, like, I mean, redoing the Force theme there the way that they did. That's what did me in, Joe. I mean, that's what elicited the tears for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the way it's matched up with these visuals. I mean, specifically when you get that shot of Rey crying in the snow. And that music, like the doom, 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 like the, yeah, the percussion has never been this powerful in that theme before. I mean, it is just freaking amazing how good that looks. And, you know, what I've already watched this 8 times, you know, and yeah, it's been out for what, not even an hour. I'm sure I'm not the only one. And what just shocked me so much was the amount of emotional and character development we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like over and above the saga in general, I think. I mean, as much as I even love the OT, I think this is the sort of characters we're going to get. There's going to be a depth and realism to them that I think is distinct. And that's the thing. Like, I watched it the first time and all I thought was like, oh my gosh, this is Star Wars, but it's so different. There's something, yeah, there's something darker about it, to be completely honest. But not like, you know, a lot of people were afraid, like, oh, they're going to, you know, do a Chris Nolan Star Wars movie. I don't think it's that dark, but there is definitely something very frightening going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like that. There's something to make us scared for our characters right off the bat.
I have so many questions after this trailer.
That's a good trailer, right? It elicits more questions than answers.
Yeah, I don't feel like I saw the whole movie, which is the way most trailers make me feel.
Right.
Wow.
You know, I love this, you know, the all the voiceovers from Han, you know, the Jedi or the Sith.
Yeah.
The dark side. To me. The Jedi. It's real, right? Like, you know, what about those stories? They're true. You know, like, I think this is so cool. This is literally like Star Wars is a legend in Star Wars.
Yeah, it's showing that there's such like a generational gap now, yeah, that like the Clone Wars was a very real exhausting thing for the galaxy. And now like what, 70 years later, I guess? Yeah. Like all of a sudden, like nobody believes in Jedi like, and the like Force, 50, that they were just stories for them.
It's almost 60 years after the Clone Wars.
Yeah, wow. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, and now all of it, like, what happened? Where the heck are the Jedi? You know, and like, what does Kylo mean when obviously, he's obviously that Darth Vader fanatic we've all been kind of speculating anyway. I mean, look at the stinking helmet. It's, I love how much of the helmet you got to see in all its glory, too, without the hood on.
And I love that they showed him without the helmet from behind.
Without the helmet?
Yeah, in that very last shot of him attacking Finn.
Oh, he doesn't have the helmet on.
He does not have the helmet on. That is his poofy hair, man.
I did not notice that.
He is absolutely taking the helmet off in this film.
Well, I mean, we've seen obviously pictures of it. So, yeah. And it's clear that he obviously doesn't need it. It's for show and for terror, probably. I mean, that shot of him clearly doing something to Poe, you know, Poe Dameron is, you know, Oscar Isaac, I wish he got a little bit more time on this. I think he's...
He got a fair amount.
Yeah, he did. I wish, you know, but obviously Kylo's doing something terrifying to him. Mm-hmm. Hashtag torture.
He got the torture scene. He got the moment of him and Finn kind of like it looked like right before they were going to go to war.
Right, exactly.
Where he touches him on the shoulder. He's got the X-Wing action. There was quite a bit of that. I think that was it, right?
Yeah.
He's got like 3 shots. That's true. That's pretty good.
But those dogfights look sick.
Oh, my God.
I think we're finally going to get dogfights like Return of the Jedi. I mean, that was the biggest letdown to me in Revenge of the Sith was that opening space battle. Like, it's just, it's all over the place, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's so minimized on Anakin and Obi-Wan that you don't get to see it in all its glory, really. It looks like, you know, and especially following somebody like Poe, who's obviously like a wing leader of some kind, we're going to be right in the thick of things. And I can't wait to see him show off his piloting skills. I mean, that, you know, one thing I do want to comment, Joe, and I want to get your response on this too, is how much they've been stressing practical effects. So much of that trailer is CGI, you know, and I'm not complaining. I don't care. But then again, everything that's CGI is space shots, right? Like they're like space battles and stuff.
Yeah, and you know, that was, I don't know. I don't have a problem with that.
No, I don't either.
I think there was plenty that was real.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what's most real is set pieces and stuff, right? Like it looks like wherever these characters are real sets. Mm-hmm. And I think that increases the believability. And what about these settings too, right? I mean, we have like what looks like a jungle. We have obviously Jakku, which is the desert. We have this, you know, this snow planet, but with the woods and stuff. I mean, this is all new setting for Star Wars. I mean, we've seen elements. Jakku is probably, you know, again, we all thought it was Tatooine. Jakku is going to be the most familiar feeling, which I wouldn't be surprised if that's Act One of the film. But there's something so distinctly different to that, to the flavor of these settings, if you will.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just so taken by the fact that this movie is about a legend. It's about the legend that we have all loved for our whole lives, pretty much. You know, or that if you're a fan that grew up with the originals, you've been a fan of these, which actually is kind of cool. If you grew up with the originals, you know, you're basically the same age as that time gap would be between Return of the Jedi and this film, which is kind of cool. And in that time gap, something's happened where, you know, that story, that saga of our heroes that we've come to love so much has become this legend that people almost seem to be doubting, which makes you think that things in the galaxy must not be going very well, because it's this period of urgency and hopelessness almost. That's just the sense I get, that things are going so terribly wrong that people are forgetting how we, you know, like it's gotten so bad that they have forgotten what used to be. And I love that, you know, you think about it, you know, think of Han in A New Hope, the huge skeptic. Here he is, the one who is, in a sense, he's the new Muse, right? I mean, he's the new Ben Kenobi, it seems like, in this film. You know, he is the one who's affirming the past and telling our new characters, you know, specifically Rey and Finn, that these legends are true and that, you know, there is something else out there. You know, I mean, it you know, oh man, I don't know. What do you think?
Yes. And I also really like the parallel between Rey and Luke. I don't know if you noticed in the beginning of the trailer. I don't know if you got the same sense that I got. But the impression I got was that, you know, we're going to get a good sense to see what it's like for Rey on a desert planet with a life that maybe she's not entirely satisfied with. Because that shot where she's just kind of like watching the ship fly off the planet made me feel like, wow, she's really... She wants to get off the planet because she's like in a trance watching that thing go.
See, I saw that as that looks like a Star Destroyer to me.
No, I mean, that wasn't a Star Destroyer. That was shooting up. That was some kind of ship. Oh, I mean, it wasn't a Star Destroyer. It was going straight up. Star Destroyers don't go straight up.
It looked like it was coming down.
No, it's going up.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was like it's like something grabbed her attention.
Well, yeah, it did grab her attention, well, but sure. it's because it's leaving the planet. And I feel like that's the impression I got was that was something that she wanted to do. She wants to get off that planet. Exactly like Luke wanted to get off Tatooine. Right. So she's going to, you know, take her first steps into a larger world.
Right. And I, you know, it's, well, and I love that voiceover. Who are you? I'm no one. I'm no one, right? Like that's, she, this character obviously feels like they're nothing. They're a nobody. Mm-hmm. Which is not a new thing in Star Wars. That's Anakin and Luke, right? In both of our hero sagas here, you know, they've been obscure characters from nothingness who become something great.
Mm-hmm.
And I even like the Finn stuff, right? I mean, he's a pretty cool character. You know,
Finn's interesting, man.
I was, you know, I already forgot the line, but something like I was bred for one thing, not bred, but like you know, I knew one thing. Now I have nothing to fight for. You know, so this is somebody who's lost his purpose and somebody who doesn't see any purpose. So this is what grabbed Star Wars fans is it's all about you finding your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's, I mean, we could potentially be getting two heroes' journeys here, really, Rey and Finn. I mean, Finn's
Poe's already there, but Finn is now trying to figure out his place in the galaxy too.
Exactly. And oh man, let's talk a little bit about some of our favorite shots. You know,
because
I know I'm going to be up probably all night just freeze framing this thing like crazy.
I'm still watching it on loop.
Okay.
Like since we started doing this, I just had it on loop just so I remember things that I want to talk about.
I think the one visual I loved the most, and I've already made it my wallpaper, is Leia on Han's chest.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yes, 100%.
Beautiful. And they both look so convincing. You know, and again, like that, to me, that's just a testament to Harrison Ford, somebody who was so reluctant about his role in Star Wars. It looks like he's really thrown himself into that character's role again.
He's killing it, man. And I'm sure the Larians know if this is not their first episode that I have been on that they've heard. They know that the prequels and I like to keep a safe distance between each other. And it's the same way for me with the fourth Indiana Jones movie. Like I have even less pleasant things to say about that. And it's a big part of it was feeling like Harrison Ford just did not care, phoned it in. And ever since I heard he's going to do this movie, I was like, oh man, he doesn't want to be there. But man, the stuff we're getting from him, this looks like Han Solo. This doesn't look like grumpy grandpa Harrison Ford. This looks like Han Solo.
Right. I mean, it looks like an older Han Solo, but it's Han Solo.
Older, wiser Han Solo.
Exactly. That was one of my favorite shots. Obviously, like you said, that shot of Kylo Ren with what looks like other Knights of Ren, which just has you wondering, like, oh my God, how many of them are there? And are they all part of the First Order, right? I mean, because obviously the first shot we see of Kylo Ren is him on what looks like the bridge of a Star Destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gosh, that just looked so good. And let's tackle the elephant in the room that everybody's going to be asking is, where was Luke? You know?
He's third act, man. There's
exactly,
seven.
Yeah. He's in this movie. You know, for anybody who doesn't think he's in there, he's like the first one billed on the poster. He's in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's going to... I don't think he'll have a big part in the movie. I think he'll be big in episode 8 and...
Yeah, you know, he's in 8 and 9.
But, he's going to be in here. And, you know, it seems like in whatever capacity he's in, it would reveal too much to show what he's going to be up to. And I'm fine with that. You know, that'll just, that mystery. I mean, it's going to drive me nuts, but I'm also going to love it when I see it in theaters in 59 days.
Oh my God. 59 days.
Can't wait. I can't wait. And obviously, you know, you and you know, your buddies down there, we've secured our tickets for the 7 o'clock showing on Thursday, December 17th.
We are good to go. We have about 20 people, and you are obviously in that group.
Right. I can't wait. We're going to have so much freaking fun.
That's going to be an amazing night, man.
But yeah.
So okay, well, so the shot you named was Han and Leia, right?
Right.
I'm going to go with one of the first shots we saw. I think it was like the third or fourth shot where Rey is kind of like gliding down her rope into that gigantic interior shot of like the sand all over the inside of the Star Destroyer hangar.
Yep.
Not just the start, like, you know, it looks like there's a lot of debris and stuff, but then you actually get to the big wide shot of where she's going. And it's the interior of a ventral docking bay for a Star Destroyer. I'm not sure if it's a regular Star Destroyer or a Super Star Destroyer.
Right.
Looks like a regular Star Destroyer because, there's a lot of light coming in, and I feel like there would be a lot more debris on top of it if it were the Super Star Destroyer. But wow, that's a cool shot, man. That looks really cool.
Yeah.
It's lit really well. It's very dramatic, and composition's really nice. I'm a big nerd, so I like composition. But yeah, that was one of my favorite framed shots in the trailer so far.
Nice.
What do you think she's looking for? I mean, we know she's scavenging. What do you think she's looking for specifically in the Star Destroyer?
I don't think anything in particular.
No, she's just looking to see what she can find.
Yeah, survival stuff. That's my guess anyway. But then there's that great shot of her walking through the desert with BB-8 following along behind her.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's afterwards because right. It's like a sunset.
Yeah. No 3PO and R2 in the trailer.
R2 was in it, but
he was.
Well, yeah, it was that same shot of Luke touching him.
Right.
In the last trailer.
Good point. Yeah,
but R2.
I think those droids are going to be backseat to BB-8.
I think that was confirmed already.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. I know a lot of people might not be crazy about that, but I think just at the end of the day, that trailer elicited so much emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the last time a movie trailer has done that to me. Now, granted, yeah, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. It's going to have that sort of response. If I was a casual watcher the typical person watching,
casual.
Yeah, the person who was your typical Monday Night Football person watching that trailer tonight was probably like, okay, that looks good.
No, I feel like most would be like, get this crap out of here. This is a football. Put the football back on.
Longest first half ever.
Listen, any Larians that actually enjoy watching football, I'm curious if you were more excited about the trailer or if you were more excited about the game.
I would assume the trailer, but you never
know. Let us know. No, yeah. You never know. Yeah. Some people are bigger football fans than Star Wars fans.
I would, you and I were joking earlier before we even got the trailer that I bet you the viewership of Monday Night Football drops dramatically in the second half, though.
We were joking, but like I'm pretty sure that's correct.
I'm pretty sure it is, too.
I immediately shut off my cable box. I was like, nope, not giving it to him.
Yeah. This movie just looks like it's going to take us to a whole new place. And it's going to have a whole new feel to it, but it's still going to be Star Wars. Like, this is our legendary characters. Literally, they're going to have to pass the torch and reignite the spark that they obviously, right? Like, so Luke was the new hope, right? Episode 4 started a new hope in the dark times. Something has happened where the dark times have returned, and now it's up to those old sparks to, light a new fire, if you will. And I think that's, Rey and Finn's character and Poe, they're the new fire, but it takes those old, the smoldering embers of Han and Leia and potentially, probably Luke, to light the new fire and to keep it blazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just thematically and mythologically, I think the story is going to capture us in a way that Star Wars was always meant to. And again, a lot of people who like rail on the prequels, I mean, at the end of the day, the prequel trilogy was going to be a tragedy. You're not going to get a successful hero's journey, but now we can tell another hero's journey, right? This probably won't end in tragedy. I'm sure episode 9 will have some sort of redeeming aspect to it in some shape or form. So I don't know. Any closing thoughts for you, Joe?
Yeah, you know what? There's one thing I didn't like. Do you have anything you didn't like?
Anything I didn't like? No, not really.
Really?
Not that I can think of right now. Why? What didn't you like?
The shot when we first saw Kylo from behind on the Star Destroyer bridge.
Uh-huh.
That damn obnoxiously huge J.J. Abrams Star Trek lens flare.
I didn't even really notice.
We were told we were not going to get that, and there it was. He said he wouldn't do the damn lens flare, and there it is in the trailer already.
Oh, man.
It, like, annoyed my eyes. I don't know. I mean, I probably annoy the Larians with somewhat bitching, but, that's the one thing I was just like, oh man, come on, Star Wars, make Star Wars and Star Trek visually different. And I mean, I know that's kind of like not really a fair comment to make, but I don't know. I feel like a lot of his color choices are very similar to this Star Trek remake, especially like all the blues that he uses.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really wish that lens flare wasn't there. Then I would have been 100. And I just saw a lens flare in another shot that I didn't even notice. Come on. in the shot where the shuttle is touching down on Jakku at the last second on the bottom. First of all, there's red fire right? Like, that's the light source in this shot. And the shuttle is landing. There's red fire. Somehow it turns into a blue lens flare. I don't understand that.
The Force works.
I don't understand.
Force works in mysterious ways, Joe.
Yeah.
You know, crud. What was I just going to say? Don't know. Can't remember. Couldn't be that good. That is the perfect trailer. I mean, we're obviously, I doubt we'll get anything else between now and then. You know, TV spots, but it'll all be the same stuff.
I think we're done.
And that's fine. We got so much there.
Would you say it was 59 days?
59 days.
Holy crap.
Wait, now
is it going to be 58 at midnight, or is it like, are you saying like, at midnight?
58 at midnight.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This just looks so good. The only thing, you know, the only thing I think that maybe I found a little bit, I don't want to use a negative word, because it wasn't negative, but just kind of like, was, again, it still looks like such a modern movie, which makes sense. It's a modern movie. It's made in 2015. But it's still, I mean, because of that, it looks so much different than the originals. If that makes any sense. I mean, again, those movies were made 30, 40 years ago. They're going to look different than a movie made today, but there's just something so polished to it, if you will. And I think it'll have a grittier sense to it when we really get into some of these scenes, that you're just not really getting as much. Cause I think a lot of the shots we got, you know, they're kind of like the fighter battles, the dog fights, which are going to look polished. It's modern CGI. But I bet you Maz Kanata's castle, which they're clearly walking into in that one shot, which looks really cool on the outside. You know, you've got, you know, Han and Rey and Finn walking towards it. You know, it looks really good. And
I don't totally agree with you, though, by the way.
You don't totally
agree? I don't think this looks polished at all. I think they know that what made the original trilogy most believable was how non-sterile it looked. Everything was, like, rusty and dirty, and they carry that over in this. Like, I'm seeing it in every shot. Like, even Kylo Ren's mask is, like, dented and scratched, and there's debris. Like, none of this looks polished to me. Everything looks awesome.
Yeah.
Everything looks real.
Yeah, it just looks like such a modern movie, which I guess is just it's kind of like, oh my gosh, like there's a modern Star Wars movie. There's a new Star Wars movie. I think it's at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's like, you know, the prequels, I mean, even now the prequels, I mean, that's 11 years old since our last Star Wars movie.
Right.
I kind of ignore the Clone War movie because it sucked. But even that was only, you know, that was only a few years after that. Well, no, I guess not. But anyway, it's been 11 years since we've had a theatrical Star Wars film. And a lot's changed in those 11 years in filmmaking as well.
10 years. 2005.
Right. Good point. Yep. 2005. My bad. My math is not good. But anyway. So there you go. That's like a quick little reaction, just because we wanted to get something out quick tonight. Jason had to work late tonight, so unfortunately he couldn't do it. But we're doing a full blown episode tomorrow night, so stay tuned for that, because we're gonna really dive into this some more and you know, listen to get some of Jason's input, and we've got a guest on tomorrow night as well. But I roped Joe into doing this with me.
Yeah, you really twisted my arm. Yeah, geek out about a new Star Wars trailer. Yeah,
wasn't that hard, but anything you want to say, Joe, before we go?
I really need to change my boxers. There is every fluid,
oh man,
known to man in there right now, and it's just the neighbors are going to complain if I don't get rid of the smell.
Joe just exploded in all good ways.
Every hole exploded something. Every hole.
Oh man. Alrighty, well, hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying this trailer tonight. I'm sure you're watching it a million more times. But like I said, we'll be back tomorrow with a normal episode with Jason back at it, and we're going to dive into this trailer some more, let it settle down for the night, and you know, watch it a few hundred more times, and have all new perspectives. So anyway, thank you for tuning in to this special episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. For Joe, I'm Carl, and we'll see you tomorrow in the Wampa's Lair.